You're the king of these people. You're the Lord. Welcome to this edition of the Double Take Broadcast with our special guest, Mike Cope. A lot of you know Mike because he's been the preaching minister at the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas for almost two decades. Now, a lot of you know him from Abilene Christian University. He's spoken in a number of lectureships, and his impact has really gone all over the world. And so we encourage you can go to read more about Mike on our website, 1429creative.com/cope. Now, let's begin our interview with Mike. This is a first of a two-part series. Our first question to Mike really has to do with guacamole. As you know, if you're a follower of Mike on his blog at preachermike.com, you'll see right there on the top of the blog is a picture of guacamole. Let's hear about this fascination Mike has with guacamole.
Yeah, it's a bit of an addiction. Well, I've been in West Texas for 18 years. I preached at Highland for 18 years. And so it doesn't predate that. It's a West Texas addiction. I don't know. I just love guacamole. In my head, I'm a health food junkie, but in my heart, I like a little decadence, and I love to make it, and nothing like going through Terminal D at DFW to Catino Laredo for a little table-side guacamole and so on.
Well, that's what we all, you know, I love that. I guess they talk about the avocado being the good fat. I always love that. Well, tell me, have you ever found the ultimate, have you discovered the ultimate recipe yet?
Well, I've got one that I flip up that I like about as well as any, which basically 95% of a great guacamole recipe is having wonderful avocados. You know, you can toss in the cilantro and the pico and the olive oil and sea salt and the pepper and get it just right, but if the avocados weren't tasty, then all is for naught. So the real masterpiece is in knowing how to pick the avocados.
Well, enough about guacamole. How about hearing a little bit more about Heartbeat? I know a lot of you have followed Mike for a number of years, and most recently at the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas, as well. You've heard him speak at different places and read his blog, and now he moves into a new ministry organization called Heartbeat. Now, it's been around for a long time, and many of you will know the name Landon Saunders. And so let's hear Mike talk a little bit about the history of Heartbeat.
Heartbeat's 38 years old, and to know the history of Heartbeat, you've got to go back to a trip in 1969 that Landon Saunders took. He had been a minister for a church in Arkansas for 10 years, and he saw the great needs of the world, and especially the poor, and he sold almost everything he had to pay for a ticket around the world. He went to 80 countries. He just he looked into the eyes of humanity. He went to India. He saw 400 children with bloated bellies, and he was asked to speak. And I heard him just recently talk about that trip, and it's amazing. Now, 40 years later, he still wells up with tears in his eyes as he thinks about it. While he was on this trip, he got a call from Abilene, from one of the elders at the Highland Church, saying that the Herald of Truth Ministry would like to talk to him about starting a radio program for people who are on the outs, who are far away from faith. So Landon came, talked to them, and he moved to Abilene in 1971. He started Heartbeat as part of the Highland Church and the Herald of Truth. But eventually, a few years later, he kind of launched out on his own with the blessing of everybody. He knew he was going in a different direction. He was in Houston for a while. Then he moved to Manhattan. For many years, Heartbeat was short radio programs that Landon did every day. They were so effective that NBC, CBS, and the Armed Services Network all provided free airtime for them. And then eventually the radio industry changed a little bit. Some of the free nature of that dried up. They were having to pay, and it was so expensive that he shifted focus to seminars in major cities in Canada and the United States and other places around the world. He did some film strips. Heart of the Fighter was shown in thousands of churches and one or two other film series. A few years back, he and a few co-workers started an inner city initiative trying to reach those who are on the outside who live in inner cities and maybe are caught in poverty. So that's a bit of the background, some of the history. But the one thing that's been steady all along is Landon's laser vision of communicating the good news to those who are far, far away.
Now that we've heard a little bit of the history of Heartbeat, let's listen now to Mike talk about his history with Landon Saunders himself. I know many of us have mentors, people that we have been influenced by, and let's listen to Mike talk about how that role has changed from Landon being a mentor to now being co-workers and co-communicators with the Ministry of Heartbeat.
It goes back to my years as a student at Harding. In the last couple of months, I've traveled with Landon all over the country, and we've spoken to small groups, and it's amazing. The moment he begins speaking, people get tears in their eyes. It takes them back to their college years or teenage years. They remember hearing this passionate man calling them to live on behalf of the world instead of just throwing up walls and demanding the church jump in, the outsiders jump in. He just kept saying, follow the way of Jesus and go out. So I was a Harding student. I was there in 1974 to 78, and several times during that period, Landon came and spoke. And it's funny, but I could almost quote sections of what he said back then. After that, I went to seminary to Harding Graduate School, and it was while I was there that I heard his lectures on preaching that he gave at ACU, still probably the best things I've ever heard in my life on preaching. And again, it's funny how that got downloaded. I could quote large chunks of it, just listen to those tapes again and again. But it changed a bit. He and I became friends during the 7 years I preached in Searcy at the college church. Just, he would come to town and we connected. But in 1994, our friendship went to a new level. I started going up, and he lives in Vermont. I'd go up once a year. And since 1994, I've been at least once a year. I happen to go in October, which is not a bad time to go to Vermont, but all these years I've gone up, spent some time with him, with another buddy or two, and we've just developed a deep friendship of long meals together, hiking through on the Appalachian Trail in Vermont and New Hampshire. And just in the last couple of years, we started asking the what if question. What if Heartbeat took a new journey, and what if I joined him? I heard Landon say the other day that he had other co-workers, but never in the role of another communicator. And so he invited me to join him as another communicator in this next project. His board kind of blinked a time or two, the Heartbeat board, because they thought maybe Landon would roll into his 70s and just wind it all down, but that's not the way he's wired. It's all I can do to keep up with him.
So many of us have been influenced by Mike Cope himself. Whether we've been sitting in the pew on a Sunday morning or at a lectureship listening to the preaching of Mike Cope, some of you may have sat in a class with him, and others have joined the community on his blog. Now let's listen to Mike talk about what his role will be at Heartbeat.
Let me paint a bit of a picture of the project. The project's called What Really Matters. And we're going to try to reach people all over the country, but, you know, thanks to the Internet, all over the world, to try to bring together small groups. We're targeting especially 18 to 29-year-olds, but we're hoping that it'll push beyond that on both sides. But that's especially our target group, because we know the statistics, just like most of the listeners do, that 8 out of 10 who grow up in churches today leave the church and go on some journey in another way. But beyond them, there's that large chunk of people who aren't leaving the church. They were never in the church. And, you know, I'm still such a believer. Landon is, too, in the local church. And I believe in emergent church, church plants, you know, all good things. But when you say all of that, there's still this vast number of people that are just untouched. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to train leaders. We'll have about once a month, we'll have training sessions for people in that age group, and again, that's where we'll start. We're going to train them. We're going to listen carefully to them about what they think really matters in life. We'll do some teaching with them, and then we'll talk to them about what it would mean for them to start a small group. And then we're going to send this out. But people keep asking us, won't this be a little messy? And absolutely, yes. This will absolutely be messy. But our deepest theological convictions are that if we sow, God will move this along. I've spent my whole life in kind of a watering ministry, you know, preaching and teaching and watering, but now Landon's invited me to join him in just sowing and just casting and trusting that God's going to provide others to water and God will give the increase. So we'll bring these small groups together. Landon's goal, I think, is to reach maybe 25,000 small groups around the world by a few years down the road. To help with small groups, he and I will be making videos. We're going to make 18 of them in the next 12 months, and then we'll probably keep making 18 to 24 each year after that, so that people can just gather in these small groups. We'll have 7 to 10 minute videos that will be right there on the internet, available to them or anybody else for free. They can bring it down. It'll be Landon and me discussing a topic that really matters, a topic like joy or faith or community or God or death or, you know, all of these great themes. And then we'll ask them to talk about it. We'll help guide their discussion with some potential discussion starters. And another part of this is how we're trying to surface the large mass into these small groups. I guess we'll use social networking as best we can. We'll use Twitter, we'll use Facebook, YouTube, and all the tools you guys know way more about than we do, but we're learning as fast as we can for old guys.
This brings us to the end of the first of a two-part interview with Mike Cope. We look forward to sharing with you in part two more about Mike's role at Heartbeat involving social media. And speaking of social media, Mike will talk about his blog, PreacherMike.com, and you'll be surprised probably to hear of when Mike says the community and the conversation really began to happen on that blog. So until we meet again in part two of this interview, please go to our website, 1429creative.com. You can join us also on all the social networking sites. And this ministry podcast serves to help you, the church leader, the ministry leader, in better communicating your passion so that you can go out and do greater things.
For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the